This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the state. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide high school sports reporter, and joining me, SB Live senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, and Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live analyst and the host of the ISO podcast, which is in its second week, releasing episodes twice weekly. We're continuing this pandemic, and how you guys holding up?
I'm great over here on the east side of the state. I know the numbers have surged a little bit over in the Spokane area, but at the same time, my family's safe. We're all healthy, and from what it seems like, everybody starting to put for what school now, hopefully sports may look like. I know, Andy, you're going to lead us into the discussion on that. So hopefully we're going to get a little bit of clarification soon and some contingency plans as well.
Andy, I'm glad you plugged the ISO podcast, but don't forget All-American and former NBA player.
Listen, if you don't know that by now, I don't really know what to say to you. So,
right. Okay.
But this week, there's been some big news, as Dan alluded to. The WIA Executive Board announced a two-week delay to the fall high school sports season in Washington. That's roughly 2 weeks. Football will start September 5th, and every other sport will start September 7th. That, of course, is assuming counties across the state are in phase 3 or 4, which seems like an uphill battle at this point. That's phase 3 or 4 of the governor's phased safe start plan. The virus continues to spread. Later in the show, we're going to have the executive director of the WIA, Mick Hoffman. We recorded an interview with him this morning that we'll play. Mick talks, openly, really frankly about how he's processing everything, how the staff approached that decision, which was a bit of a surprise decision, but I think allows schools a little bit of flexibility to kind of prepare for at least some sort of delay. And sort of the first domino to fall in the planning for fall sports. But Todd, we went into the July 7th executive board meeting as you and I were talking and preparing for what might come out of it. Neither of us anticipated any news coming out of this. And that's because the WIA had said specifically it was going to wait until July 21st to make a decision. However, once the board started talking, once they started getting feedback from different parts of the state, the board felt compelled and felt ready to make a decision to put in place its first contingency plan, which is now a two-week delay to the season. What was your initial reaction hearing that news, and how has that changed the more people you've talked to?
Yeah, I think this is the first of a few delays, if not a sweeping delay through the rest of 2020. And I'm talking specifically for football. I think we're going to have fall sports. I think we're going to have golf. I think we're going to have tennis. I think we're going to have girls soccer. I think we're going to have volleyball eventually. But I think it's going to be delayed. And this was the first step taken by the WIA. You're right. Initially, it was supposed to come out of this meeting, and then it was supposed to come out of the July 21st meeting. And a lot's still going to come out of that July 21st meeting. But I think it's telling the fact that they were able to make a big decision like that to delay it 2 weeks out of this particular meeting. So, yeah, I mean, I was surprised that it came out of it. I'm not surprised by the decision. And I think out of July 21st, we're going to get a little more clarity on schedules and more delays and just sort of the direction this is going here for fall sports and in particular in football. So I would encourage people to stay tuned for July 22nd. I think it's going to be a very, very important news day for fall sports.
No question, and we're already starting to see as different counties across the state are in different phases. Some are still stuck in the phase 1.5. Some are in phase 2, and some are in phase 3. And there's certain parts of the state where there actually are live sports happening in some form. Obviously, not at the high school level, but something I found interesting was from Colville's new head football coach, Greg Mace, just put out on Twitter this morning to all of the football players in his program what their return to play summer guidelines are going to be just for that area. They're entering phase three. They've been approved, and it looks a lot like a ton of temperature checks, a ton of social distancing. Nobody's inside. So it'll be fascinating to see how programs, coaches, and athletes are continuing to stay sharp during this time. And that's what I want to ask you about, Dan. As an athlete, with something like this, where you have resources limited, it's obviously not ideal. At this stage of the pandemic, how would you be approaching staying in shape with, you say your season was starting in a couple months, and what would your advice be to athletes at this time?
Well, that's a difficult one for a high school student, because a lot of times, you know, they need a little bit more guidance. You know, they need structure. You know, there are quite a few self-starters. There's quite a few that, as mentioned, need that guidance and direction. And that's where, you know, the importance of high school coaches really come in. That's the importance of an AAU coach, or on the football side, those passing league coaches come into play. And I mean the ones who get it, who understand how to teach the game and to share the structure of how to improve. In different parts of the state, as you just mentioned, they're in different phases, which allow for different variabilities within workouts, within training settings. And so you got to kind of be mindful of where you're at and what you can do. Now, for me, in my playing career, I had a number of situations that I'm not going to say were similar to this, but there were a lot of similarities, because there were so many times over the course of my career where I was traded, or I didn't know if I was going to have a contract, or I didn't know what my career was looking like. And so I had to always constantly stay in shape. When I, as a player, did not have a contract, I didn't always go play 5-on-5 to put myself at risk for an injury. I would go work out by myself, or with one person rebounding for me, helping put me through a workout to eliminate the potential to get hurt, so that if an opportunity came, I would be able to take advantage of it. And so I think that a lot of kids need to understand that, hey, if you have a hoop in your driveway and you're a basketball player, this is a perfect opportunity for you to get ahead. Not worry about team stuff, not worry about AAU and if you're being recruited, but to simply focus in on some of the things that maybe you've missed out on over the last couple of years, fundamental wise, because you've been so geared into winning a game, or having to get to a practice, or preparing to get to a tournament. So I think you can really take a step back as an individual and really focus in and work on some of the things that maybe you've been missing. Again, that's easier said than done for some kids, because they're not self-starters, or they don't have, the guidance. But hopefully some high school coaches, and I'm sure they, and after talking to quite a few of them over the last couple months, you know, they are putting together little programs for their kids to do in their yard or at the park, you know, right down the street if they've got access. But, you look at some of these other sports. Football is a difficult one because, you know, it's more of a team aspect sport. You got to play catch, so maybe physically you've got to find ways to stay sharp if you don't have access to a weight room. And that's, you know, your conditioning, that's your yoga, that's body weight, weightlifting. So it'll be interesting and difficult. But I do think, to go back to my point about the best coaches, whether they are AAU or passing league coaches, but more importantly for our focus, high school coaches, the better ones have already been in touch with their kids and to give them some guidelines and give them some feedback and some ideas on that, how that they can best prepare during these times. Mentally, though, it will be a challenge. It will be difficult because, you know, those years of 14 to 18, those are really – you know, socially demanding years for how you grow within a team or a group concept. So hopefully these coaches, and I know some of them are finding ways to be able to make sure with kids develop that aspect as well.
We're seeing a lot of athletes, a lot of coaches get creative with the way that they're working out or the way that they're structuring workouts. And we're going to see the State Association get creative in the ways that it allows for high school sports to return in accordance with the reopening phase plan at the state level. So we're going to dive into that interview with Mick Hoffman, the WIAA's executive director. Todd and I talked to him this morning. He really opened up about, you know, the process. He's been a pretty open about it all along, but just why exactly this decision this week to delay the season by 2 weeks came out, particularly when it was unexpected, and just the thought process of him, of the executive board, on you know, what to look out for going forward, and what we might be able to expect in 3 weeks when that board meets again to make another decision about the start of the season. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. He's the executive director of the WIAA, just wrapping up his first year in the post, and he's leading the association that is trying to answer the question that a lot of people across the state care deeply about, and that's when and how will high school sports return? He's Mick Hoffman. Mick, thank you for being with us. How are you holding up?
Yeah, we're doing great. So wish we were getting better news on these COVID numbers, but other than that, things are well.
Yeah, so the WIAA has set the timeline for high school sports would be determined, and a decision would be reached after the July 21st executive board meeting. That was kind of the plan all along. This week, there was a meeting on the 7th, and a decision came out of it to delay the season by 2 weeks. What made the board so confident at that point of the summer to make a decision when kind of before it was expected?
Yeah, so back in June, the board made the decision. They prioritized three possible starts. One was start as usual, the August start dates. Second was the September one. And then third was January. That was our plan going in. We originally intended to review that decision on July 7th and then confirm whether we're going to go with August or not on the 21st. Talking with superintendents, and we have a superintendent advisory council. We have a rep member who sits on our honorary board, as well as a couple superintendents that are on our board. And talking with them, you know, they just said that there's so much going on with trying to get school open. The pressure of also trying to figure out how to do sports was adding to the complication of planning for them. The other thing that they shared with us and got the board to think about is we have to be in phase three in a county to be able to compete with the current rules from Department of Health at the low risk sport level. And right now, you know, half our counties are in either 2 or 1.5, more than half, and only 17 at that point were in phase three with a 2 week freeze. And so the chance of pushing a majority of those phase two schools or 1.5 to phase three by August 19th or 24th didn't seem very realistic. And so just to allow people some clarity in planning, because I'll tell you, moving the date to September 5-7 creates a lot of planning. What do you do? You know, seasons are shortened now. What do you do with, do you do some different postseason? We're locked into contracts and, you know, swimming facilities and golf course for cross countries. And so now we need to go back and look at those kind of dates and work with those sites. You know, we have great partners and we're hoping, but they may not have other dates available that would work for us. So that's, so we need, so the board decided to, with it being most likely we're going to have to make that decision anyway, let's go ahead and make the decision so we can start the planning. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, right now the earliest the gameplay can start or the season of practice can start early September. Gameplay starts mid-September. How have you guys been advising member schools in the restructuring their schedule process? Is there a potential that, you know, if just say, you know, perfect scenario, the season is to start in early September, is there a chance it could be extended into December, or is this a two week condensed season?
That's what we're going to decide on the 21st. So those are the kinds of decisions. So we have a group, a committee that's going to meet here. We've been reviewing it. So we have a couple superintendents, couple administrators, coaches that will take a look at these different options. It could be sport by sport. We've developed guidelines for sport by sport, fall sports specifically to start. Some of them lend themselves to being able to extend their season a little easier. Some do not, especially those that are weather dependent. So the guidance we gave early on was try to schedule locally. Try not to do a lot of intrastate travel, or especially interstate travel. So it could be in some sports, like they could have to eliminate a week or two or condense competitions. So yeah, that's to be determined.
Head football coach at Eastlake, Don Bartel, was on the radio in Seattle yesterday, and he made a comment that I found striking. He basically talked about, as an administrator and as a leader, how it's been a little bit disarming, essentially being in a position where, you know, a lot of administrators, a lot of leaders are just powerless right now, are just waiting for the instruction of, you know, a small few. But once sports return, say there is a case, wherever it may be across the state, how will that be handled? Is this a, this team has an outbreak, has one or two cases, we're just going to, you know, remove these two players? Or is it going to be something along the lines of shut the whole team down, give the whole team a two-week quarantine? Has that level of detail once sports return been ironed out yet, or is that going to be, you know, done on a case-by-case basis?
Yeah, and that's really where we rely on the Department of Health. So coach's comment about, you know, relying on the other people, part of it, you know, I don't necessarily call it powerless, because I'm not really in a position to be a scientist or a medical professional to make that kind of determination, right? We get that information from them. In this case, in our state, the Department of Health is the one approving our guidelines. So they will demonstrate that. It's most likely they would go into a quarantine situation, just based on what we've seen with, you know, the state of Washington's been pretty conservative. And that's one of the reasons that we probably see more counties in level three than a lot of other states are seeing right now around the country. So, yeah, it's a great question. We don't know yet. I do know that in the community, it's changing some. Where when people are exposed and they get tested and test results are coming a lot quicker than what they were coming before, they're being told they don't have to quarantine if they're tested. And so I still don't quite understand that change. Like how long does it have to be from when you were exposed to somebody who's confirmed to when your test can basically say you're no longer a potential carrier. So those are the kinds of things we're trying to, as the science is evolving, we're trying to keep up to speed with our partners at the Department of Health. So yeah, we don't know yet. Cause the next question then is, like, if a team has to quarantine, how's that factor into their schedule? Like, is that a no contest or a forfeit? Or if a school says, hey, we heard there was a case and we're not playing them, right? How do we handle that? So those are the other decisions that the board is wrestling with as we plow through the summer.
Mick, I know that I think it's pretty much understood with coaches and administrators throughout the state that this July 21st executive board meeting is pretty important, that some pretty important developments are going to come from that meeting. Can you kind of highlight three or four bullet points that you really expect to come from that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one is going to be, are we satisfied with the September 5-7 date? That's going to be the biggest one. And then number two is, what does that do to our schedules? How are we going to, are we going to shorten schedules? Are we going to change championship dates? Depending on what we see over the next 2 weeks with cases, that will tell us something. But, you know, so the board's going to make a decision at that point, but then we're going to meet 2 weeks later. And I don't know if they'll have to change again or not, right? I mean, it's not, we're not going to just make a decision and say, that's it, end all be all. So again, I would guess the board will prioritize, and the probably the third thing we're going to ask them to decide is what are dates for future decisions, right? So they did it up through this July 21st. So what are dates that we need to make a decision for sure where it go on September 5, 7, or do we look at the January date, or do we come up with a third or fourth plan? So, so those, you know, are we good with September 5, 7? If so, what does that look like schedule-wise for the season and postseason? And then number three, what are kind of decision milestones moving forward? So.
I know this is sort of on the periphery, but there's sort of a theme or a storyline or a development that's kind of come forward with some players sort of looking at out-of-state options. And what I mean by that is families have looked into with the questionable status of football in the fall, that they're looking to move their families out of state to play fall football. Is that a trend that concerns you? And then if these families do indeed do that and somehow football is delayed, would they be able to go move to another state and then move back and play a football in Washington in a different season? I mean, is that possible?
By rules, sure. You know, we're not real worried about that. If families want to move, they want to move. If it's that important to them, I mean, we want kids to play, right? We're definitely not going to encourage it because we think it's important kids stay with their peer group. There's a lot more things that take place with living in your neighborhood or hanging out with your friends than football, right? And a lot of us, as we get older, we look back and they're great memories. But a lot of those memories were the things that happened off the court or the field more so than what happened on the court or field. And that's what you lose when you move. You know, we had all kinds of people saying, well, if you're not going to make a decision, we're going to move. Well, where were they going to move to? They're going to move to Arizona. Well, good luck. We're going to move to Idaho. Well, have you seen the map? We're going to move to Montana. I mean, those states are going to, I just was on a short trip, took a family friend over to a family event, a 2-day trip back and forth to Montana. And we were like the aliens wearing masks, right? But then I start reading the information and they're going up 50% weekly. And so granted, they're starting with a small number, but they're going to be where we were weeks ago. So yeah. So if a kid wants to, you know, if a kid's able to go over there and play football and then they're, and say for some reason we end up with spring football, it's really a question of the parent. Is that really what's best? And is that healthy and safe for your kid to play two football seasons within, you know, 3 or 4 months? I don't know. I would say, I hope you're talking to your doctor and the medical experts on that, because that would be my greater concern, is just the amount of contact that they could be exposed to. So.
This July 21st date that we've been looking at, what's the most likely scenario and path forward for the executive board? Obviously, with this week, the news that the season was delayed 2 weeks, should fans, interested parties, schools, everybody kind of anticipate more incremental delays as we go on? Or as you said, you know, one of the contingency plans has been the fresh start in 2021. Is it something where at the end of the month we could see, you know, a really big sweeping decision made?
Well, I think if we keep seeing cases going up, you know, exponentially like we're seeing, it's going to be difficult to play. I mean, the bottom line is we have to have counties in phase three to be able to do our lowest risk sports. So then the question is, which one of those do we offer if we're going to offer anything? And the other piece is coordinating with our superintendents on what are they able to do at the school? And do they have the capacity to even offer those athletic and activity programs in the fall with wherever they're at academically? So I would say at this point, it's hard to say. You know, 2-3 weeks ago, before we saw this huge spike, I was very optimistic. I was even thinking we're going to be able to get to football. Well, football is not only phase four, but Department of Health has to determine at what, you know, what else besides being in phase four allows us to play football, wrestling, competitive dance and cheer. We don't know that answer yet. And so, yeah, I think we'll I would get, if we finish right where we're at now, that means something remarkable has happened with this virus. People have, you know, found a way to slow it down. And for whatever reason, we're going in the right direction again. If we continue, I mean, I just read this morning, Clark County, where I'm from, is above the phase three numbers. So we had applied to get into phase three, and now we're locked into phase two, not just because of the freeze, but because of the numbers. And that 4 weeks ago, we're having 1 to 2 cases a day. Now we're 45 to 65 a day. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that are going to cause us if that continues to happen around the state. So
as you approach these conversations with the board, with WIA staff, the sports world in a large way has had its eyes on the professional leagues that are trying to resume in various ways, and colleges as well. I know, you know, the Ivy League has kind of been a step ahead with its decision making yesterday, as we record this Thursday, deciding on Wednesday that there would be no sports in the remainder of 2020. How much of an impact do leagues at the professional level and the college level, the decisions that they're making and the ways that they're approaching a return to play at that higher level, how much does that impact your thought process and how you're approaching these conversations with the board?
Well, as a fan, I pay attention, right? but as far as us, you know, they're in a very different situation. Even the Ivy League, which isn't a huge money league. I mean, they might actually save money by not offering anything. I don't know if they're a profit center in their athletic program. I'm going to guess it's probably a cost center like most of us. But they're traveling interstate. You know, they have international students. They're bringing people in from all over the country and the world where, you know, we're more localized. So we have a better chance to control and contain our environment than what they're able to do. Scheduling, we're not getting on planes and, you know, traveling 5-6 states. So I think we have a better opportunity to do that. What we're paying attention to is, you know, how do they structure their practices and their competitions, and who do they allow in and who don't they allow in? And, if we've had players playing, did game workers get exposed or officials get exposed? So we're looking into some of the things that transfer directly to us as opposed to just kind of the general. You know, we don't have their money to test every day or every other day. That's not happening. We're not going to put our teams in a bubble in Disneyland. That's outside of what anything we can control. So, but it's, you know, they're trying to control their environment. So we need to replicate that in our own way.
What's the closest thing to Disneyland that would exist as something in the state of Washington that you could put a bubble
to get all our teams there?
Yeah.
I don't think we've built it yet. So we'd have to get on top of one of these mountains somewhere and put a fence up, I guess, around it and hold people out. So, they just live in a different world than us. And for them, you know, it's a huge financial thing. I mean, for us, you know, we rely on ticket revenue and that, but we can sustain that. We're not talking billions of dollars like they are. You know, we're talking thousands of dollars. We're going to get through this. The stuff I'm reading on the vaccine is becoming more and more promising. And, you know, now you're hearing even some November, December, they're already starting mass production, some companies. So, you listen to the experts and they say they've never, ever in the history of the world seen the scientific community, medical community so focused on one event. So once we get through this, it'll be interesting to see, how they push for other diseases or conditions, and why aren't we giving that same love and attention to eradicate, you know, lung cancer or breast cancer or something like that. But at least now they're focused on this because it's impacting the whole world, and we're going to get through it. Just right now, it's painful and none of us like it. Heck, you know, I tell people I don't like wearing a mask, right? I mean, it's hot. It's uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, I wear it all the time. If it's the difference between kids going to school and playing and not, I mean, you know, I have to wear my seatbelt when I drive. I can't grab my phone and put it up to my ear when I drive. I can put a mask on if it's the difference between going to school and playing and not. So, plus I don't want to get anybody else sick.
I want to kind of put this on you a little bit, Mick. If your son was still in high school and we got to a point where we could play football and he wanted to go out for football at Evergreen or wherever in Vancouver, would there be any hesitation as a father to let him play football?
It wouldn't be knowing what I know now, because we're not going to authorize it until we know it's relatively safe. And there's going to be some risk in everything, even when we do low risk sports. And we're going to make people aware of it. And so, you know, based on what I hear and the impact on somebody at the high school age, it's a little bit unknown, long-term cardiac issues or pulmonary issues. But we would play. If the Department of Health said we're at a point we can play and he wanted to play, he would play. Because any kid that's out there is going to be like my kid, because I'm ultimately responsible. That's why I got this job, right? They put me in this position to help lead an organization that takes care of kids. And we're not going to chance anything that's going to jeopardize that, right? For a short term, I mean, it broke my heart to cancel the spring season, right? I mean, I know how important that is to kids. And if we have to continue to do that, it'll be even worse. But at some point, it's going to get better. And those kids who are 16, 17, 18 years old, we want them to live to be 70, 80, 90 years old. And there's nothing right now more important than that. So, yeah, if we get the clearance, if when we say we're able to play, people are going to hopefully trust us enough to know it's as safe as it can be. And we'll make people aware of any risks that that we know.
With 2 May's ago, as Todd and I were reporting on the lease agreement at the Tacoma Dome, the site state football championship setting, right before you stepped into your post now, we were kind of talking and saying, oh, wow, you know, Mick is really stepping into something that is an issue that a lot of people care about. And this is, quite a way to start his tenure as executive director. And then, you know, now we're amid a global pandemic. Have you had a second to be able to reflect on, you know, what a first year it's been for you at the helm?
No, we're just keeping our head down and driving through. You know, I wish I was at the point where people were questioning the decision again of moving football or what we do with basketball, right? When I start getting criticized for that, then we'll start reflecting back. You know, we've just, in our office, we have banned the question, what could happen next? Nobody gets asked that question, right? I mean, we tried to anticipate, but we could have never anticipated this. So, no, I mean, our staff is working really, really hard. We're a small staff. I mean, you compare the staff of the WI size, we serve over 800 schools with our middle schools. A lot of associations don't serve middle schools. And we haven't even sorted through yet what exactly how these changes are going to impact middle school. So our staff is really grinding hard. I mean, they're on vacation and doing press releases. The press releases you saw, I had to track Andy Knapp down up the gorge. He tried to get away for 2 days with his wife, and I'm on the phone with him saying, Andy, we made a decision today. I need this out, please. And so once we get through this, we'll catch our breath, and then we'll reflect back, and I'll look even older, but we'll recover.
We'll look forward to what's next, and appreciate you walking us through sort of the thought processes behind everything. So for SB Live Sports, SB Live Washington, I'm Andy Bueller with Todd Millis, and he's Mick Hoffman, the executive director of the WIA.
Thanks, guys.